You've never had the urge to get even with anybody. No, that's never happened. You've never enjoyed seeing bad things happen to a certain someone. So this sermon's probably not for you. You're too spiritual to relish the day that person falls. You're just too spiritual for that. I know that. This audience, I mean, y'all can just go home now. I know you'd never watch somebody fall and say, "Thank God he's teaching them a lesson." You'd never say that. I know that. Y'all are just, you're such spiritual people. And so these thoughts never cross your mind. You don't have any anger or retaliation in you. And so in short, this sermon's not really for you. It's for the other people. It's for all the other people who have anger in their heart and look for revenge and just love to see certain people fall. Everybody else that hates that girl because she's prettier than they are, or everybody else that hates that guy because he makes more money than they do, or everybody else that hates the guy with the bigger ranch who's lost because he's got a bigger ranch than you do. And I know this is for everybody else. It's not for you. And so let me turn your attention to a man who had the opportunity to have all of this hatred, all this hatred, and our reasons. Obviously, I'm being a little facetious here, but he had a legitimate reason. I mean, what we would say is legitimate reason to hate a man. He had a legitimate reason to want to retaliate against a man. And our reasons are they got more money, so I'm mad at them. They're prettier, so I'm mad at them. And, I wish I was like them and all that kind of stuff. But David fought a giant one day. That's a big deal. He went out as 17 years old. He went out and fought a giant. That's a big deal. But that act of faith probably wasn't as compelling, or I should say, it may have been this compelling, but David faced, after that event in his life and after God anointing him to become king, he faced daily a man that hated him and that had the power to kill him. I mean, he had the at least artillery, he had the manpower to harass David, every day. And so David's faith, here's David's faith. I'm going to give it to you in a real succinct way, then we're going to go through this chapter. David could have hated Saul. And probably from our perspective, he should have hated Saul. He should have done something about Saul. There were opportunities to do something about Saul, particularly in this chapter. And so I think his faith was exceptional in fighting Goliath, but his faith was remarkable and enduring to daily make the choice not to do anything against Saul, his real enemy. This man hated him. God said, and here's the component of faith that I want to get to, and we're going to go through this chapter and see it. The first time God speaks to Abraham, one of the things he says is, "I am thy shield." That's a defense. "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And there's a component of faith that says, "I trust God to be the revenger of things that need to be made right, and I trust God to be the revenger of things that are wrong. I trust God to do that. I'm not going to take it into my own hands. I trust God to do that." This is David. Paul would say it this way. He would say, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. The point is, part of your faith, and in fact, one of the most fundamental components of faith, is believing that God is the rewarder, but both for good and evil, that God is a rewarder. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. That means if you want to take it in your hands to repay, you don't trust God to do what he's going to do. You don't trust God to be just. You don't trust the judge of the whole earth to do right. Jesus Christ says it this way. He says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Notice that relationship, that reward. The reward is with the Lord, both for vengeance and for rewards. It's with the Lord. And so you find that. I'll just make another little introductory comment here. One of the fundamental problems that the Pharisees had was they looked for their reward with men. And Jesus Christ would say over and over, you have your reward. You have looked to man to give you meaning, to give you value. You've looked to man to bolster your pride. And when man decided to, make a rock and put your name in it and put it in the wall, that's your reward. That's what you're looking for. You got what man can give. But God's people, God's children, look to God for a reward. And they wait for God to give the reward. So that in mind, that's the thought. Now let's go through this chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing right now. I just want to make some comments as we go about this thought. David's faith. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Let's stop there. Make a few comments about this. David's hiding out for his life. He's got 600 men with him. Saul brought 3,000 men to hunt David. He's holed up in a cave, and Saul is encroaching. Saul's menacing, Saul's harassing, he's gathering these men to hunt down David. So there's a real threat here. This isn't like an imaginary threat like you and I kind of sometimes make up these things in our minds, oh, they're so against me and whatever. You know, and then we have all these emotions that are associated with that. It's a real threat. And I want to mention, along with that real threat, hatred for somebody else, like we talked about at the first, that you guys don't have. None of you have this hatred, so you just don't have to worry about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Hatred can feel so justified. It can feel so justified. I mean, you can have these emotions, and you look at the circumstances, and you say, yeah, I'm right to have these emotions. I'm right to hate this person. You see what they're doing? You see how they're treating me? You see how they're acting? I'm right to feel this way. And hatred, revenge, those things can feel so justified. But you know, there's not a single one of us in here that has ever been in David's position. Not a single one of us have been with 600 men in a cave, and the king shows up with an army to kill you. You talk about justification for hatred and revenge. I mean, maybe David's got a place. I mean, maybe there's some room for this, Lord. The reality is hatred, vengeance, retaliation. Man, that stuff can feel so justified. Sometimes the circumstances make you feel justified in it too. I would say this. Not a single one of us have been in David's position, but you believe that your hatred for that girl, you believe your hatred for that guy is justified because you just feel it's justified. Listen, get over yourself. Get over yourself. David has a real reason to hate his enemy. He has a real reason. Saul's gathered the army just to hunt David, to kill David. Then verse 3, how about this for circumstances? You know, if you were praying against somebody, Lord, get him, Lord, you got to get that person. If you were praying against somebody, and all these circumstances start to kind of work out, like, he had trouble in his business. Well, I know why he had trouble in his business. I know why that's going on, you know. The Lord's just getting him back. And you watch these circumstances. Now here's David. How uncanny, how serendipitous is it that the same cave that David and his 600 men are in, Saul just happens, of all the country in Israel, just happens to walk into that cave alone. I mean, God just set it up. This is manna from heaven. This is a prayer answered. This guy is supposed to be dead. Of all the caves he could go into, he chooses to walk into this cave where all of us are, 600 of us, and he walks into this cave by himself. You know what you and I'd say? Thank you, Lord. We got him now. We got him. This guy's dead. And that's what the men think. The circumstance, hatred can feel so appropriate. Your emotions will justify it. The circumstances will justify it. Now the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man. It seems right. It looks right. All the circumstances seem to say this is the right thing. You're going in the right direction. There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Along those lines, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what you'd say if you're David and you're justified and you're, I'm going to get this guy. This guy's hunted me from day one. Now he is in the cave with me. I got 600 men here. We can take this guy apart. Nobody will hear it. That is leaning on my own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. The circumstances justify my hatred and my self-defense. And then notice this in verse 4. Even the spiritual crowd says, yes, what you're doing is right. David, here's the chance. This is the day that God told you, here, I'm going to deliver your enemy into your hands and you can do with him what you want. Does anybody see a problem in verse 4 when the men say, behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, and then they quote some scripture that's not a scripture? You know, God will help those who help themselves. You know what I mean? You get these phrases, and they're just like religious folklore. They don't have any bearing, but they seem to fit a circumstance. They seem to fit the circumstance. And so these men, these spiritual men, they use the Bible, they use Scripture. The circumstances, they testify that David, this is your chance. David's own heart says, this is my chance. And then they use the Scriptures, which aren't really Scriptures, but they use God's Word to say, David, even God said, this is your time. And for a moment, David believes it. But he doesn't have it in him to kill Saul yet. He just wants Saul to know, hey, your life, Saul, hangs in my hands. And so he goes over there, and when Saul's in that cave, cuts off a little bit of his clothes there. And as he's holding that piece of garment, he sits back down in that cave, and he thinks to himself, what have I done? What have I done? Man, David's heart is so tender. It is so tender. You and I mean, we wouldn't think twice about that. We think, yeah, we need to scare Saul. Just give it to him. Let him know your life, Saul, hangs in my hands. You hunt me, I hunt you. I am not the prey, you're the prey, Saul. Boy, David cuts that little piece of garment. The Bible says his heart smote him. What have I done? What have I done? I am getting ahead of God here. What am I doing? What is this? God is the one who is the revenger. God is the one who rewards. What am I doing taking God's place in this? And his heart smites him, and he's just, what have I done? But you notice, I notice in those first few verses, boy, hatred, revenge, it can seem so right. The threats say it's right. The circumstances say it's right. The spiritual crowd says, yeah, you're right. In fact, I got a verse for you that says you're right. It must be right. And the temptation to forget God and deal with things in your own desperation is so real. I'm going to get back at them. I hate them so much. And your hatred isn't near what David's dealing with. They got more likes on Facebook or something. I don't know. David's dealing with a real enemy. David's dealing with a real enemy who has power to kill him. And he gets ahead of God. And I want you to notice a man whose heart is right with God. His conscience is informed by his faith. Things don't sit right with David as he holds that piece of Saul's clothes in his hands, that token of hatred. That's what he's got. He's got a token of hatred now in his hands. And that thing is burning him up. What have I done? What have I done? You hate somebody. You know what? You hate somebody today. You carry around that token of hatred with you. You might have come to church with it. You got that thing with you. And it reminds you of that hatred. And one of two things will happen. You'll either be reminded of that hatred, and you'll say, God, what am I doing? What am I doing? Or you'll say, yes, God, I am justified in this hatred. There's one of two ways you'll go with it. David's faith is informed by the words of God. His heart is moved in the right direction. For a moment, he's persuaded by the crowd and by the circumstances. But afterward, what have I done? Have you ever wondered that? You know, you made a big decision or you made a small decision. And you knew that decision wasn't the right decision. And you did it and you said, what have I done? What have I done? David has to instruct. Now, I imagine if you're one of David's men, your perspective on this whole thing is David's justified. That's what they said. But David, his heart's right with God, and now he's got to instruct these men. So he tells the men, look, listen, guys. This job of rewarding men evil for evil, this is not my job. This is not your job. You don't have that occupation. This is God's business. This is, what do they say? This is above our pay grade. We don't do this. We can't make things right. We can be frustrated and try to retaliate, but you and I, we can't make things right. We don't even know all the circumstances that need to be made right when something goes wrong. David has to instruct his men. He reminds himself and his men, God is the one that put Saul on the throne. And God is the one, it's his business to take him off the throne. It's not my business. Though Saul is an enemy of God, boy, that justifies it. I hate that person. Do you see how they treat God? Lord, I mean, do you see how they're treating you? Surely you want me to do something about this. Surely this justifies my hatred for them. David says, no. This is not my business. This is not my business. Hating, retaliation, retribution, vengeance, these are not my business. He instructs his men. Verse 6, he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And David stayed his servants. So he instructs them in faith. It's David's faith that's informed his heart. Now he instructs the men and says, listen, this is what faith looks like in action. It doesn't take vengeance. You're going to trust God. You're going to rely on the Lord. You're going to stop hating this man. You're going to stop wanting to retaliate against him. Let the Lord sort this thing out. So David stayed his servants, verse 7, with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Talk about humility. Would that even cross your mind to bow down to someone who was hunting you? Would that wouldn't even cross our minds. That's not even a thought. David stoops down and he says, my Lord the king. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words? Verse 9, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. David's, his good spirit, he sort of gives Saul the benefit of the doubt. He says, maybe you've heard some bad things. Maybe you've heard about me that I'm out to get you. I'm not out to get you. In fact, I could have got you, and I didn't. Please take note, King Saul, please take note. My Lord, please take note that I am not out to get you. Even though you're out to get me, I am not out to get you. It is not my business to be out to get you. That is God's business. Verse 11, moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand. I have not sinned against thee, yet thou hast hunted my soul to take it. What an incredible faith. Now here's a good statement about faith. The Lord, verse 12, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. That's not my business. This is not my business, Saul. You've made it your business to try to kill me. And as much as I've wanted to, maybe, in time past. It's not my business to do this. David is that little garment that was a token of his hatred, of his retribution, of his, I want to strike fear into Saul. That little garment now is a token to show Saul, look, this is my mercy. I don't have any ill will against you, Saul. My mind doesn't work like yours. I don't think about hunting you. I think about doing the will of God. I think about what God's will is for my life. I don't think about how you've responded to me or how you've responded to God. Some things are my job, but this is not my job. The Lord judge between me and thee. Verse 13, as saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? I mean, what am I? You got 3,000 men. There's 600 people with me. We're in a cave. What are you doing? I'm not out to get you. The Lord, therefore, verse 15, therefore be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thine hand. David's faith, you know, it's like a New Testament faith. I mean, it's just, we say New Testament, it's just faith. The Lord says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. That's Deuteronomy 32. To me belongeth recompense and vengeance. Paul says it this way, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, and be not, here it is, listen to this, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what David said. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked. Look, if your wickedness turns me into a wicked soul, that's on me. That's my problem. I chose to deal with it that way. Or I can trust God. Another verse says, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Over and over in the Bible, God is the judge. But our emotions, sometimes the circumstances, sometimes even the spiritual friends, boy, all that stuff comes together and we think, you know what? I'm the judge now. I know what should happen here. I know why that's going on with him. I know why he's struggling in his marriage. I know what's going on with that. God's judging him. You don't know. You don't know. It's not your business to know. Some of these things is not your business to know. David's faith, he just wants to serve God. Now watch this in the very last few verses. We'll wrap it up with this. The Bible says about faith, because David's demonstrated faith now. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Further on in Hebrews 11, in that verse, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Remember what it says? It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what you have to believe about God. You don't have faith unless you believe God is the rewarder. Otherwise, what are you believing God for? I mean, you're not going to... God's not going to make you rich. You have to believe something you're not seeing right now. You have to believe... It's not just what you're not seeing. You have to believe what God said about some things. David demonstrates faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But then, when a man's ways please God, it's a proverb, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Notice that in Proverbs, when a man's ways please the Lord, well, how do you please the Lord? Faith. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know what happens at the end of this chapter? David's goodwill, David's faith in the Lord, David's trusting that the Lord will be the avenger, the Lord will be the judge, will diffuse Saul's murderous hunt for his life. Look what Saul says in verse 16. It came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." Now, this doesn't mean Saul's heart's right. Saul's just an emotional wreck. This guy's a disaster. But the Lord, when a man's ways please the Lord, faith pleases the Lord, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And David with his 600 men holed up in a cave against Saul's 3,000-man army. He shows kindness to Saul because of what he believes about what God said. And then Saul's heart is turned, at least for this moment. It's turned. And he looks at David and he says, "What have I done? What am I doing? David, I mean, you are more righteous than me. You are. I sought to hunt you down, and you've shown me goodness. You've shown me kindness." And the Lord turns the situation down. He may not have Saul, like I said. I mean, Saul was not right with God or any of that stuff. He's an emotional wreck. He may be afraid of David right now. I don't know. But the Lord turns the situation around. And David's faith is what diffuses Saul's murderous hunt. Look, there are some people you hate. I say that. You. When I say that, somebody's name comes to mind in your mind. There are people you hate. For various reasons. There are people you relish the day when you see them fall. And you may even say, you know what, that person is disobedient to God, so even God must be against them. I mean, surely God's on my side. If I don't like them, then that means God doesn't like them either. Some folks you hate, and all of these circumstances, your emotions, maybe even spiritual people, it's all evidence to you that you don't need God to be the judge, that you are fully capable of hating perfectly and loving the revenge and loving retaliation. And I'm here to tell you that right there is the opposite of faith. That is the exact opposite of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The scriptures are direct. I mean, very direct. One of the components of faith, or even the most fundamental component of faith, is believing that God is the rewarder. God is the judge. God is the judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's Genesis. This lesson here. Well, let's finish reading the chapter. Verse 19, Saul says, "For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men got them into the hold. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. How does a man's ways please the Lord? It's impossible to please the Lord without faith. Faith is what pleases God. David, he is the example, perfect example of faith here. Yeah, he stumbles a little bit at the beginning. All the noise gets to him. It just gets to him. Everything seems to be right. I mean, the circumstance, the crowd, everything seems to be right. Here's Saul alone in the cave. This is the chance. This is the chance. And then David cuts that piece of garment off just for a moment. And then that thing, boy, that then the faith kicks in. Then the trust in God kicks in, and his heart is informed by that. And he thinks, what have I done? What have I done? And he instructs the men, this is not our job. Our job is not to hate this man. Our job is not to retaliate against this man. Our job is not even self-defense. That's not even our job. Our job is to serve God, serve Israel. David knows as king, he is to defend Israel. That's what he spends his days doing under Saul, defending Israel, while being hunted by his king. So let me break it down and make it real simple this morning. You probably have in your mind somebody that you hate. And you know the name, the face. And it may be they're prettier than you. It may be that they got more money than you. It may be that they got a bigger ranch than you. Or they got more cars than you. Or they got a house on the golf course or whatever. Those are all stupid reasons to hate people. They're stupid reasons. David has a real reason to hate somebody. And even David says, it is not my job to hate this man. It is not my job to retaliate. It is not my job to judge this man. And that is faith. That is the very basic component of faith. You know why you, if you're here and you believe in Jesus Christ, you know what you believe about God and about Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ is a rewarder. He forgives sins. You believe that one day you have a home in the presence of God in heaven and then on earth and then, I mean, millennium, all that kind of stuff. You believe that God is a rewarder. But I look around and you look around, boy, we are so tempted to stop believing that God is a rewarder. Man, we look to so many other things to reward us. We justify emotions that have no bearing in reality. But the reality, the truth is, when a man's ways please God, and you please God by faith, David, when a man's ways please God, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Faith is what pleases God, period. Faith is what pleases God. David is an excellent, excellent person in the Bible. He displays Christ-like character over and over and over. And it's no wonder God chose him to do what he chose him to do. Let's do this. I want you to take that little emotion, that feeling. You got it. For somebody. I want you to recognize by faith, God is the judge of their lives, of your life. God is the judge. You're not the revenger. Focus on serving God and let God sort the stuff out. I understand. You do have to make some decisions and do some things. I get all that. But we're talking about this particular element here. believing God is the rewarder, because you are so tempted, I am so tempted to stop believing God's the rewarder. And when I stop believing God is the rewarder, I start justifying vengeance. I start justifying maliciousness. I start justifying hatred. And life is too short to have all that. I don't have time to think about this stuff. I need to think about serving God and loving people. That's what I need to be consumed with. That's what you need to be consumed with. As Sam plays a little bit on the piano, we'll have a little time of invitation. You can stay in your seat. But just think about what you've heard. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Some things just aren't our business to sort out. Just not our business to make the judgment. It's not my business to have the emotions about this. David's a good example. Lord, make us faithful. Help us be faithful. Help us look into David's life here and be faithful. Get rid of these feelings that we have no business feeling. Get rid of these thoughts that we have no business thinking.